Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Nun Aleph. We're on Nun Amud Beis, and we're immediately after the Mishnah. We're starting with the Gemara. We opened up yesterday the fifth parak of the Masechta. Fifth parak is short, but it carries a punch. It is a challenging parak. It was discussing, we went through all the Mishnahs yesterday. All the Mishnahs are front-loaded in this parak. It discusses what happens in a situation where you do multiple action points. Now, as far as Yibam and Chalitz are concerned, there are really only two action points to speak about Min HaTorah. And that, of course, is either Yibam or Chalitza, or to be more accurate, it's Bia or Chalitza. Bia is a marriage. In other words, that's the act of Yibam or Chalitza. In other words, but if you want to sever the bond, the Zika that you have with her, so you do Chalitza and that's it. So Min HaTorah, it's either going to be either Bia or Chalitza. Truth of the matter is that Min HaTorah? So Get has no business over here, meaning Get is for a regular marriage. And Maimer, so that's a rabbinic institution. But Min HaTorah, Maimer doesn't accomplish anything. So really, what the Mishnah should be talking about is just Yibam and Chalitza. Yet the Mishnah goes on to describe how Get is going to have ramifications and how Maimer is going to have ramifications. And so in a complicated Mishnah yesterday, so what we learned together is that in the event that you introduce Get into the process, meaning you are in a Yibam situation and you give her a Get, so trying to communicate basically, I don't want you, but the communication was the wrong communication, but yet the get is going to have effectiveness. When we say it has effectiveness, what does that mean? It means now that you are going to be prohibited to her relatives, meaning that get had a status. And then the Mishnah went on to describe what happens if there's get after a bia. What if there's a get after chalitza? What if there's a get after mimer? Similarly, the Mishnah went on to describe that if you do mimer, mimer is also going to have ramifications. It's going to be effective. And so therefore, what happens if I did Mimer followed then by Get, Mimer followed then by Bia, Mimer then followed by Chalitza, v'chule, v'chule. So the Mishnah went on to describe yesterday that if I did any one of these action points, what would be the effect with another action point that's immediately following? The Mishnah yesterday was complicated by the fact that we discussed multiple scenarios. We discussed what happens when there was a one-on-one where you do to the one widow, you do Mimer followed then by either Get Chalitza or Bia. And then we went through every permutation. It was an algorithm yesterday. We went through every single option. In other words, in a one-on-one. Then the Mishnah went on to say, what if it's a one-on-two? What if there is one Yavam but two Yavamos? Then what happens if to one Yavama you do one and to another Yavama you do another? And there you can go ahead and you can repeat. Meaning, what if you do Mimer to one and Mimer to the second? Mimer to one and Get to the second? Mimer to one and Bia to the second? Et cetera, et cetera. And the Mishnah went on to describe what happens in every one of these circumstances, in every one of these situations, what will become the effect of a multiple action. So admittedly, yesterday we went through the entire Mishnah. Admittedly, the Mishnah is challenging. It's difficult, but it's systematic. Meaning, go through the Mishnah, go through it again. Okay, I'll try to lead by example. I went through the Mishnah a number of times. It's a real challenge, and you walk through the Rashi's, and Rashi really takes you through each one of the cases. Okay, that's what we did yesterday, and then what we'll come back to in a couple minutes from now is the opening of the Mishnah. The machlok is between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, whether there's Maimer Acha Maimer, whether there's Get Acha Get, and we will come back and discuss that in just a couple minutes from now. But we're going to start immediately with the Gemara right now, because the Gemara wants to know, why is there any effectiveness to a Get in a Yibam scenario? It's a really simple and basic question. Meaning, before we get complicated, before we talk about a Get that's done followed by the Maimer, a Get followed by Bia, et cetera, et cetera, why does Get have any ramifications, any effectiveness whatsoever in this context? So that's a fair question. And there are a number of basic issues that are going to be fleshed out by the Gemara. Let's begin. We are on Nun Amud Beis. We're starting immediately after the Mishnah. The debate between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim about whether or not there's Get after Get or whether there's Maimer after Maimer. But certainly a Get by itself and Yavama by itself, that's going to be effective. Meaning, what is the given of the Mishnah is that Get has ramifications in a Yibam context. And so does Maimer. And again, Min HaTorah, they're nothing. But the Chachamim imbued them with value and effectiveness. Why? So my time, I'm a Rabbanan. So there really are 4 points that we're going to flesh out. Number one. My time, I'm a Rabbanan, get biyavama mahani. So why did the Chachamim say that get is going to be effective? When this is not a marriage, it's yibum. Very similar to one another, but not the same. The Torah tells us exactly what to do when it comes to yibum. Either bia or chalitza. So why is it that if you issue a get, it's going to have effectiveness? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So mahani mishum da mahani ba'alma. Because we know that, of course, get is the general way of severing a union, a marriage. Now, let's say that in the Yibum context, let's say that get did nothing. Which again, Minatara, it doesn't do anything. But let's say that we allow that to stand. So then the Chachamim were worried about the following. Well, people will look at it and say, well, that's interesting. Get is something that normally severs. Well, chalitza is something that normally severs. Now, if get didn't do anything, which again, Minatara, it didn't. But if the Chachamim let that stand, so then here's where people are going to come away with an erroneous impression, which is, well, if get didn't do anything, well, chalitza didn't do anything as well. Wait just 1 second. Let me just finish. And then what people are going to do then is they're going to say, look, you did chalitza to one of the Yavamas. Okay, fine. But I remember that in a similar circumstance where get was issued to one of the Yavamos, and then afterwards he decided to marry another one of the Yavamos. Oh, so if that was true by get, in a get context, well, okay, I know I rejected that one via chalitza, but how is that any different than get? Oh, so if they would have allowed the get to just simply go without any effect, so then in a similar situation, people will then do chalitza, immediately followed by bia to another one of the Yavamas. Now, we all know, once you do chalitza to one of them, that's it. You've severed the bond, that you've addressed the Zika, there's no longer a Zika, and now you're not allowed to marry any one of the other Yavamas. Okay, so because of the interchangeability, my new made-up word for today, because of the interchangeability of get and chalitza, so therefore the Chachamim imbued an effect to the get, because of the confusion of get versus chalitza.
Why couldn't people look at it within the context?
Good.
Chalitza works within the context of yibum and yibum.
Okay.
Get doesn't, so why do you have to confuse
it? Totally with you. As far as the Gemara's explanation is concerned, I can't say it any... No, it's not true. I could say it better, but that's basically that's the concern of the Chachamim, that they're so interchangeable. In other words, they have the same goal, they have the same accomplishment. You're right. This is a yibum context. This is not a marriage context. I totally understand that. Okay, you're in an advantage where you know this is not your first round of learning Yavamos. Meaning, so you're so comfortable with this idea over here that you can clearly see the difference. The Chachamim were concerned about people's inability to see the difference.
No, there's one case that they didn't actually mention, which is Bia and Bia.
Right. So and why? Because that one's clear. Meaning. Bia followed by Bia. Well, you're going back to the Mishnah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's not go back to the Mishnah right now. Let's stay on. We got a lot to do today. So the Gemara says Lamahani v'asal lemevel achar chalitza. My time, I'm a rabban and maimer biyavama mahane. So now the Gemara says, okay, now let's take a look at maimer by itself. Maimer by itself is effective. And again, when we use the word effective over here, it means it's going to have ramifications. For example, in our Mishnah, you do mimer to one, and then you do something to the other. Okay, whatever that something else would be, right? It doesn't really matter. The point of the matter is that once you do mimer to one, so that's it. You've created now a relationship with that woman, so that aside from the fact that now because you did something to somebody else, so you are not going to be able to marry her. But aside from that, now you're going to be usher to her relatives, meaning that mimer had an effect. And again, the question is really simple. Why? Meaning, if all it is mimer and the Torah doesn't recognize it, so why does it have an effect? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So this is now point number two. Amar Rabbanan mimer biyavama mahani mishum de mahani ba'alma, because it helps in general, di amar lamahani, ami mimer liknos be a liknos, because again, of an interchangeability. What does mimer accomplish? Creates kinyan. Now again, not a full kinyan, but that's what it does. What does bia accomplish? Same thing. It creates kinyan. So mid aimer lo mahani bia nami lo mahanya. Now, if we were to just simply say, look, In this context, Maimer, let's ignore it. Well, if you're ready to ignore Maimer, so what people will walk away and say is, well, if we're going to ignore Maimer, so why don't we just ignore Bia as well? So va'asilam evel achabia. And then what people will then think is, look, in a similar circumstance where we ignored Maimer, so why don't we just ignore Bia? And therefore, people will then think, look, I know I did Bia to the first Yavama, but I changed my mind. Not interested in that widow. Interested in one of the other widows. And then Bia Achar Bia will then be on the will be on the table. It's not off the table. And of course, it is off the table. Meaning once you do Bia to one of the widows, you're married to that widow. And there is no option of doing Bia with another one of the widows. Oh. So because of the interchangeability between Maimer and Bia, so the Chachamim can't let Maimer just go by.
That's a much
tougher jump than Gechalitza. Okay. I hear. The Gemara is not saying it right. I hear. But this is how the Gemara is presenting it. Because you can only buy sechad. You can only do the mitzvah with one of the widows. Period.
But it doesn't forbid you from marrying.
Absolutely forbid you. In other
after
words, what?
The first one?
Huh?
After marrying the first one.
Correct. You are forbidden to marry the second one. Because the Zika has been addressed.
Right.
Because she is your now sister-in-law. And there's no longer a mitzvah. Oh my time, I'm Rabbi Nabiya Psula Yeshacharaklom. Okay, we're not done yet. Bia Psula. Now, Bia Psula is the Gemara's terminology to describe a Bia that's done, but only after something else was done. In other words, you did with one of the Yavamas, you did get, and another Yavama, you did Bia. With one of the Yavamas, you did Maimer. With this Yavama, you did Bia. So a Bia by itself is the mitzvah. A Bia followed by something else is what's called a Bia Psula. It's an inferior Bia. Now, what do we say? We said regarding a Bia Psula, Yesh Acharei HaKlum. So the case is not closed. It's still an open case. There's still a Zika. Some remnant of the Zika is still there. So the Gemara wants to know, why did the Chachamim do that? So Bia Psula Yesh Acharei HaKlum Amri Ibi Achar Get. So the Gemara says, because consider. Let's say the Bia followed the Get. So Bia Achar Get, Mishum Bia Achar Chalitza. Once again, remember, Get and Chalitza are interchangeable. Once I allow for a Bia Achar Get, well, then people will say, well, Bia Achar Get, oh, Bia Achar Chalitza must be fine. And of course, Bia Achar Chalitza is not fine because once Chalitza is done, the case now is closed. The Zika has been addressed. And now you're having Bia with any one of the other widows. That's an Isser. Okay. Now, the Bia Achar Maimer, he. Now, if you did Bia Achar Maimer, so Xer Bia Achar Maimer, Mishum Bia Achar Bia. Once again, Maimer and Bia are interchangeable. And so once you allow for a Bia Achar Maimer, so then Bia Achar Bia. You did Bia with one, you'll do Bia with the other, and again, that results in an Isser.
They say Bia Achar Maimer with another one.
We're assuming there are multiple Yavamas. My time, Rabban, Hai Chalitza Psula, Ein Acharei HaKlum. Okay, now finally, Chalitza Psula. Now, Chalitza Psula, once again, is a term used to describe a Chalitza that's done after something else. So you did a chalitza after you issued a get to another one of the widows. Or you did a chalitza after issuing maimer to one of the other widows. So that chalitza is an inferior chalitza. However, let me just finish. However, with the chalitza psula, the case is closed. Meaning there is no extension after that. There's no zika after that. So this is now going to be, if you will, the oddball. Meaning, in the get by itself is effective. In the mimer by itself is effective. In the Bia Psula, so in other words, there's still going to be an effect even after the Bia Psula. But after a Chalitza Psula, the case is closed. Now the Gemara wants to know, why is that true? Hi Chalitza Psula in Acharei HaKlum Amrei Mai L'Gzur. So the Gemara says, well, what is going to be the Gzera? Nigzer Chalitza Achar Get Mishum Chalitza Achar Chalitza. Again, what are you worried about now? That get and Chalitza are interchangeable? Okay, so let's say get and Chalitza are interchangeable. So what happened? You issued a get, and then with another one of the widows, you did chalitza. Gemara says, okay, so then what are people going to do next time in a similar circumstance? They're going to do, instead of get chalitza, they're going to do chalitza. Gemara says, okay, good. So you're handing out chalitzas. So the Gemara says, ki kol ha'ani techlas v'tezo. Gemara says, that's not a problem. In other words, if that's what you're concerned about, not to be concerned. Meaning, if you did hand out multiple chalitzas, you've resolved the issue. So ligzer chalitza achar maimer mishum chalitza achar bia. So the Gemara says, now, what about a chalitza followed a maimer? What's your concern over there? Because the chalitza achar bia, because again, maimer and bia are interchangeable. So altu chalitza achar maimer milo ba'i get. So the Gemara says, well, chalitza achar maimer I'm sorry, Milo by get la mama ro. So remember, in a case of chalitza chamaimer, you still have to issue a get. Why? Because remember, for the mimer now, that creates a quasi-marriage. Once a mimer has been done, a get needs to address the mimer that was done. So in a case of, and I know this part's confusing, in a case of chalitza after mimer, so what are you worried about? Mimer and bia being interchangeable? No problem. It, by the mimer by itself, you had to issue a get. So if you interchange mimer and bia, so fine, so you're going to have to give a get for the bia. So the Gemara makes exactly this point. L'mamaro chalitza achar bia, nami bai get l'bia so. So you'll issue a get for the bia. Now, admittedly, by the way, those are two different gets, meaning the get for the bia, you're married to her. The get for the mimer, you're quasi-married to her. You're midrabbanan married to her. But still, the Gemara says, but there's not going to be a concern. Because even if they're interchangeable, which the Gemara assumes they are, meaning when I say interchangeable, I mean in terms of the perception of people. Even if they're interchangeable, the halacha is not going to change, meaning you're going to issue a get for the mimer, you'll issue a get for the bia. Okay, adkan. So what we just did is four rounds of why did the chachamim invest effectiveness status to a mimer, why to a get, why to a bia psula, and why did the chachamim not concern about a chalitza psula.
My question is, we had a different definition of still before.
Okay, well, later.
There's two core wives and one was
Later this morning, we're coming back to your point. Okay, good. Amarava. Okay, so now, after an attempted understanding of what is behind the mindset of the Chachamim in terms of making these gzeiros, so now the Gemara says, let's go back to our Mishnah. In the beginning of our Mishnah, so how did it open up the fifth parak of the Masechta? A machlok is between Rabbi Gamliel and Chachamim. Now remember, the machlok is Rabbi Gamliel and Chachamim, it's a 1-on-2. It could also be a 2-on-1, but again, I just want to make it as simple as possible, a 1-on-2. One surviving brother, two surviving widows of his dead brother. Now, in such a situation, let's say you did mimer to the first and you did mimer to the second. What's that mimer to the second? Anything? Rabbi Gamliel says nothing. It has no effect whatsoever. Meaning if at a later point in time, after you've resolved this particular scenario, this particular case, at a later point in time, you want to marry a relative to the second widow, go for it. In other words, that mimer that you offer to the second one has no effectiveness. Ein mimer achar mimer. Alternatively, according to Rabbi Gamliel, ein get achar get. Meaning if you issue get to both of them, so the second one who received the get, nothing. It was nothing. It has no effect. No status. On the other hand, the Chachamim said, no, yesh mamar chamayimer v'yesh get achar get. Okay, so the Gemara immediately wants to understand what's the svara behind Rabbi Gamliel. Note that the Gemara does not ask what's the svara behind the Chachamim. Okay? A worthwhile discussion outside of the simple reading of the Gemara in terms of why the Gemara didn't seek an explanation for the Chachamim, but the Gemara wants to have an understanding of Rabbi Gamliel. Apparently, Rabbi Gamliel is a little bit more involved in terms of giving an explanation. My time at the Gamliel, de misafke le get idachi lo dache. So the Gemara says, here's the explanation of Rabbi Gamliel. Now, this should sound familiar, because when I read the Mishnah yesterday, this is the exact explanation that I gave. Now, it's funny, because this is an explanation the Gemara is going to end up rejecting. Right? Spoiler alert. So the Gemara is not going to be happy with this explanation. But when I read the Mishnah yesterday, I shared with you the Rashi on the Mishnah yesterday. Rashi offered this explanation. So my time at the Rabbi Gamliel, we're on the very top of Nun Alpha Med Aleph, de Masafke le get idach ilo dachi maimer ikani lo ilo kani. And I'm going to read quickly and then I'll explain. Get idach ilo dachi kamadachi basra mai kavid, I kamalo dachi basra namilo dachi. Maimer ikani ilo kani, I kamakani basra mai kavid, vi kamalo kani basra namilo kani. Okay. And now an explanation. The Gemara suggests the following. For Rabbi Gamliel, is the first get that was issued. Obviously, it pushes her away. Minat Torah does nothing. But again, Midrabanan, it pushes her away. So now you did it to the first. Now, according to Rabbi Gamliel, in this first explanation of Rabbi Gamliel, it did one of two possibilities. Either it really it pushed her hard. Alternatively, it did nothing. So the Gemara says, fine. So now you issued that second get. Well, let's go over our two possibilities. Either the first one was totally rejected, so now there's nothing left to reject, meaning nothing's left of the Zika, that Zika has been totally rejected. Alternatively, the first get did nothing. Well, if the first get did nothing, you know what the second get also did? Nothing. You have to be consistent in terms of the either total effectiveness or total lack of effectiveness of the get. And we're going to say the same thing regarding Mimer. Now, get and Mimer, by the way, are going into different directions. Get is rejecting the Zika. Mimer is reinforcing the Zika. So once again, the Gemara suggests that according to Rambam Gamliel, it's either all or nothing. Meaning, what did that first Mimer do? Two possibilities. Either it totally reinforced the Zika, which means now that what's left for the second one? Nothing's left for the second one. On the other hand, maybe that first Mimer did nothing. Well, maybe if the first Mimer, not maybe, if the first Mimer did nothing, what's the second Mimer also doing? Nothing. Ah. So the Gemara says that Rambam Gamliel is vacillating between either it did everything or it did nothing. Either way, it will have no bearing then on the second widow. Okay. Easy, right? It's not easy. So Aisve Abaye and Mudram Gamlil Shesh Gedacha Mimer Mimer Achaget Vigedachabio Mimer O Mimer Achabia Viget. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'm gonna tell you we're gonna walk into a problem. We're not gonna walk into a problem, we're gonna slam into a problem. In that I know, based on a brisa, the Rambam Gamliel says, what if the following? What if instead of Maimer Acha Maimer, let's say it was Maimer Acha Get, or it was Get Acha Maimer, or, and now let's really complicate things. But we're not trying to complicate things, meaning we're just trying to understand what's the svar behind Rambam Gamliel. Or let's say you do the following. Let's say there are three widows. Ready? Okay, and this one surviving brother, so he is confused, to say the least. And clearly in doubt of what he should do. So the first widow, he goes over to her and he says, you know what? Not interested. He gives her a get. The second widow, he says, interested, and he has bia with her. The third widow, he says, I'm also interested, and he gives her mimer. Okay. Now, again over here, who's been guiding, right? Who's been officiating? Right, like, what's happening over here? Okay, so all that is wonderful. I don't care right now. And neither does the Gemara. The Gemara now is just simply telling us that if in such an event, what would Rambam Gamliel say? Rambam Gamliel says, effect, effect, effect. All three of them are going to take effect. Okay. Now, again, we know that according to Rambam Gamliel, if it's mimer, mimer to widow one and widow two, second one had no effect. But in a case of get be a mimer, and by the way, it would also be true if it were mimer be a get. So all three of them have an effect. Now, the Gemara says, now let's consider. Okay, and over here, I will give you my first analogy of the day, and that is the subway. Okay, so in other words, in this subway over here, there are three stops. Okay, the first stop, I'll do mimer be a get. Okay, right. We could do it either way, but let's do mimer be a get. Okay, now, in our understanding of Rambam Gamliel, so you get to the first widow, and you should a mimer. So now, are you getting off the train right now? There are two possibilities: either mimer did everything, or mimer did nothing. If mimer did everything, you got off the Zika train. Okay, you're off. Okay. Okay, fine. But in other words, as far as Zika is concerned, in other words, whatever happened, whatever you do to all the other widows after that, it's going to have no effectiveness. You're off the train already. Zika's done. Okay, fine. But that's one possibility. The other possibility is Mimer did nothing. So you're still on the train. So now what happens when you get to the second widow, Bia? So, did that Bia do anything? Well, the answer is either you're already off the train. Alternatively, this is the first action point that you're doing. Because again, the two possibilities for Rambam Gamliel is that Mimer did everything or Mimer did nothing. But if Mimer did a nothing, so then what is this Bia that you're doing at stop number two? That is Yibum. Now, if in fact it's Yibum, what have you done? You've gotten off the train. Now as you get to the third exit over here, sorry, but as you get to the third exit now, so either way you look at Rambam Gamliel, there's nothing left. Either the mimer that you did at stop number one did everything, alternatively did nothing, but if it did nothing, then that bia that you did everything. Now over here, when you issue to get to the third one, it should have absolutely no bearing to it whatsoever.
And Rambam Gamliel can't hold it, so the mimer is ineffective, yet it's still be absolute.
Right. Correct. Correct. Meaning, right now, the Gemara is only vacillating between all or nothing. Correct. So the Gemara says, and meanwhile, we have a brisa that tells us that in the case of get be a mimer, alternatively, mimer be a get, we know that Rabban Gamliel lends validity to all three of them. So the Gemara says, so what we have to do now is we have to go back to the drawing board, and we're going to now look at Rabban Gamliel anew. We got to give a new svar on Rabban Gamliel. Okay, and that's what the Gemara is going to do. So the Gemara says, now again, let's reset. Rabban Gamliel holds ain mimer acha mimer. Rabban Gamliel holds ain get acha get. And again, we're talking about where there are two widows. You should mimer to one, you should mimer to the second. You should get to the one, you should get to the second. The second is going to have no validity. We're trying to understand Rabban Gamliel. Why does the second have no validity? So here's now a new proposal. And I say new, by the way, this will be the accepted proposal of Rabban Gamliel. So everyone is, Rabban Gamliel is of the position that mimer reinforces, partially. And Rabban Gamliel is of the position that get detaches, partially. However, Amar Rabbanan, Umaymer Dekani Mil, Amar Rabbanan, Hayivama Bechatzad Mahani Baget, Uvechatzad Mahani by mimer get Acha Get Lo Dachi Daha Dachale Kama. Umaymer Acha Maimer Lo Kane Daha Kanele Kama. Get Acha Maimer, Umaymer Acha Get, Hamilsa Kadachi Vahimilsa Kakani. And again, I read it quickly, but now here comes the explanation. And that is that look, for Rabban Gamliel, when you issue the mimer to number one, to widow number one, so now it reinforced. The reason why when you issue, but only a little bit, the reason why when you issue mimer to widow number two, it doesn't do anything is because whatever little bit it reinforced for number one, it would only have done the same little bit for number two. But that already has been covered. Meaning, if you will, it only is going to overlap the same slice of the pie. And in other words, and that slice has already been covered. That's my second analogy of the day. On the other hand, in other words, not on the other hand, and let's say you do get followed then by get. So what did get do? Get took away a little bit from the Zika. But in other words, but only one slice of the Zika pie. And then when you get to the next Yivama, and you do get to her as well, that slice has already been removed. Meaning that for Rabban Gamliel, it is going to be ineffective because what it's going to do to the second one is only going to be a repeat performance of what it did to the first one. In that regard, Rabban Gamliel says that's why it's not going to be that's why it will be ineffective for the second.
But gets you on the chalitza track. It means that you have to, once you give the get, you have to give chalitza to the first wife, right?
True.
So basically that makes the second wife irrelevant at that point. You can't give chalitza to her, right?
Yeah, but there's still an outstanding zika.
But doesn't that zika dissolve because now you're going to
the chalitza? No, not with a get. Not with a get. A get minotaur didn't do anything. Okay. Now, virabanan, now that we have offered this explanation of the of Rabban Gamliel, now we just quickly turn our attention to the chachamim. What's the counter argument? Virabanan kol chachad v'chad takino le'rabanan get umayim rabbi yavama. And the chachamim will say is no. Meaning it's not the same piece. It's a different piece. Different slice of the pie. Meaning that when you issue get to the first one, so you've taken away a little bit of the Zika from her. Okay, and then when you issue get to the second one, you take away another slice, a different slice. So in other words, the get is going to be effective to the second one simply because there's still an outstanding Zika, and that get that you issued to her is going to take another part of the Zika away from her. So that's why it's going to be effective. And the same thing, and we can go in the same regard in the mimer. Mimer reinforces a little bit. Okay, good. So it reinforced a little bit with number one and reinforced a little bit with number two. And it's not the same slice. It's a different slice. Okay. Now, hi, Biapsula. Okay, now, we're almost done. Not with the daf, but really with the most challenging part of today's daf. Because now what we're trying to do is really wrap our head fully around Rabban Gamliel. So now we have it. Almost. We're almost there. So for Rabban Gamliel, why is ain mimer acha mimer? Why is it ain get acha get? Because what you're doing in the second round is a repeat of the first round, and there's just simply nothing left. From a mimer standpoint or from a get standpoint. So the Gemara says, now what about Bia Psula? Now Bia Psula, if you remember, does not close the case. Remember? We said that at the beginning of today's daf, we're repeating. In other words, if you had a Bia Psula is a Bia that followed up after a get. a bia that followed up after a maimer. That bia that you did now is an inferior bia. And on top of that, case is not closed. Remember, we just mentioned a couple moments ago that let's say you did get, bia, maimer. Alternatively, you did maimer, bia, get. So in such a situation, that third one is still going to be in effect. Now, Gemara wants to know why. Why according to Rabbi Gamliel? V'hai bia psula difa maimer griyami maimer. So bia psula is almost on par with maimer. However, it's a little bit better. It's a little bit worse. Did I just say both? Yes. The Gemara just said both. I just translated the Gemara. In other words, bia psula is a little bit better than maimer, a little bit worse than maimer. Gemara goes on to explain. Adifa ma maimer deilo maimer acher maimer lo mahani. Because remember, according to Rabbi Gamliel, let's say you do maimer. Maimer to widow number one, maimer to widow number two. Second one's ineffective. Vilo bi acher maimer mahani. Ah, but a bia after maimer, that's a bia psula. It's a little bit of a different animal than maimer. That's why maimer followed then by bia, the bia is going to be effective to the second one. And again, effective, and I understand this is a subtlety. And I understand this is what makes this stuff really tough and difficult. It doesn't mean you're married to the second one. In other words, it's a bia psula, it's an inferior bia. You did something to the first one. But what it means now is it's going to have an effect. After all said and done, I'm not allowed to marry any of the relatives of this one because there was a quasi-union between me and her via this bia psula. And on top of that, also, as the Gemara is about to point out, the case is not going to be closed. Let's say you do maimer, follow them by bia, follow them by get. That third action point that you did is going to have an effect. Wait one second. You did maimer, follow them by maimer equivalent, bia psula. It's not equal. It's similar, but not equal. And the Gemara makes exactly this point. Ugriyami maimer dila maimer achar get kani lekula shiur deget. Vilo bia achar get lo kani lekula shiur deget. You see what it doesn't do, meaning let's say you did get followed then by bia psula. So get takes away some of the zika. Bia psula reinforces, but it doesn't fully complement one another. The bia psula is still going to leave over a little bit of the zika. So that if you do another action point to another widow, to a third widow afterwards, it's going to have an effect for that third widow. Okay. Where do we land on all this? Okay. That was a lot. Okay. But if I may, in terms of what we accomplished this morning in terms of the daf, meaning you walk away from today's daf, what are you remembering? So the Chachamim invested a value to Mimer, to a get in a Yibam context. As Ben pointed out earlier, why? Meaning, It's a Yibam context. The Torah only recognizes Chalitz and Yibam. Why did the Chachamim invest value to get to Maimer over here? Okay, so that was where we started today. So the Gemara gave us a svara to understand why the Chachamim added value to a get. Why did Chachamim add value to Maimer? Why did the Chachamim add value to a Bia Psula? And meanwhile, by Chalitz Psula, the Chachamim didn't need to add a value. Those are the first four things that we established. And then, from the top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph to where we are right now in the Gemara, a better understanding of Rabbi Gamliel. Ein Maimer Acha Maimer. Two widows. You should Maimer to one, you should Maimer to a second. The second Maimer that you did had no effect. Chachamim disagree, but we're right now focusing on Rabbi Gamliel. What's behind Rabbi Gamliel? Why does he say Ein Maimer Acha Maimer? Why does he say Ein Get Acha Get? And so the Gemara tried on a couple of different svaras in terms of what it should be. Where the Gemara landed is that, according to Rabbi Gamliel, Maimer does a little bit. Get does a little bit in two different directions. But in other words, what it would have done for the second is just a repeat of the first. And that's why it's not going to have an effect for the second. Adkan. Not the end of the daf, but that's what we've been covering up until now. Tana Rabbanan. Kate said, Amar and Gamliel ain't get achar get. Okay, and now, just a really clear clarification of Rabbi Gamliel. Meaning this Bryce is just going to tell us what Rabbi Gamliel Shita are going to look like in practice. Now, when I say in practice, by the way, mind you, if anyone knows what they're doing and is an officiating in such a scenario, he wouldn't be issuing the second maimer. He wouldn't be issuing the second get. But just a very clear example of Rabbi Gamliel. So Kate said, Rabbi Gamliel, Ein get achar get she yavam shenafu lifnei yavam echa v'nasan get lezu v'get lezu. So, okay, good. So, in other words, everything we knew already, but just really spelled out. You see, the Mishnah, by the way, did not spell it out as clearly as the Brisa is about to do. So there are two widows, and you issue to get to one and to get to the other. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Cholos Rishon Avasa Bekor Vasel Mutar Bekor Vashnia. So Rabbi Gamliel says, do Chalitza to the first one. And Rashi over here says, you don't have to do Chalitza to the first one. You just have to do Chalitza to one of them. But as an Eitz Tova, just as good sound advice, do it to the first one.
Why not? There's an outstanding get on the first one. Why would you bypass that?
Well, in other words, what you did is you issued get to both of them, which you shouldn't have done, but you did. And now you got to close the Zika, right? You got to close this case. So you close the case by issuing Chalitza. It could be to either one of them. Could be. So Rashi says just simply as an Eitz Tova, do it to the first one. So and the second one mutar b'krov hashnia. Now v'chachamim armim get nasan get lazu v'get lazu also b'krov hashteim v'chalitza la'achas mam. And then the chachamim will tell you no. Once you issue a get to both of them, that get is going to have an effect to both of them. Now v'chena tomer b'shnei yavam v'yavam achas. And by the way, the case would be equally as true if there were two surviving brothers and one yavama. But same result. Kate said, "I'm running Gamliel in Maimer Chamaimer." And now, just a simple example of Maimer Chamaimer, and that is Shei Yavamish Naflu Lufnei Yavamach Vasa Maimer Bezu Maimer Bezu. I'm running Gamliel Omer Nosin Get Lishona VeCholatzlav Asa Bekrova Sel Mota Bekrova Shnia VeChachamem Omer Nosin Get Lishteim VeAsa Bekrova Shteim VeChalitza LaAchas Mehem. And the same thing is true if you issued Maimer to both of them. Again, according to Rambam Gamliel, only Maimer number one has an effect. Maimer number two does not have an effect. And what you're going to now do is that, according to Rabbi Gamliel, is that you'll just do one chalitza, and that will be it. And that will only have an effect to the first one, not to the second one. And according to the Chachamim, no. You did Maimer to both, it's going to have an effect to both. You got to give it a get to both of them. Again, a get to resolve the Maimer. And then, of course, you have to do a chalitza. Right. According to the Chachamim, only to one of them. Even though it had an effect, even though both of them are now effected. So the Gemara says, okay, so just to review, according to Rabbi Gamliel, so you're going to, in the case of get and get, so what you're going to do is you just simply do one chalitza, preferably to the first one, and you will have no effect to the second one. Good. The Gemara says now, Can we reach back in the Masechta? Right, we're on Nun Aleph, we're on 51. So let's go about halfway back to the Masechta, all the way back to Chaf Zayin. Do you remember the sheet of Shmuel?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah, you do. You're good. So you remember the sheet of Shmuel? Shmuel says, "What if you issue a chalitza psula? A chalitza psula is a disqualified chalitza." No, I didn't mean that. Not disqualified chalitza, an inferior chalitza. Right? That's better stated. So, in an inferior chalitza. Now, what does that mean, inferior chalitza? A chalitza where yibum was not an option. The chalitza that you issue now is qualifies as an inferior chalitza. According to Shmuel, what do you do in a chalitza psula? I'll tell you what you do. Right, you got to give a second chalitza and a third chalitza. However many widows are remaining, you got to give a chalitza to each one of them. So now, the Gemara says, now this sheet of Shmuel, that a chalitza psula has to be issued to every widow. Did you not hear the brisa we learned together? I gave a get. Okay, Yibam is off the table. Now Yibam is off the table and I have to issue a chalitza. This qualifies as a chalitza psula. If I ask Shmuel now, what would you expect Rabbi Gamliel to say? You get a chalitza, you gotta give a chalitza to everybody. And meanwhile, Rabbi Gamliel did not say that. On this particular point, Rabbi Gamliel couldn't have been clearer. You only give one chalitza and that's it. So new Shmuel, what do you have to say about that? So what Shmuel will tell you is, well, this really takes us to a fundamental issue. Meaning, I'm of the position that a chalitza psula has to be issued to everyone because I subscribe to Yesh Zika. But Rabbi Gamliel does not hold Yesh Zika. In fact, Rabbi Gamliel holds Ein Zika.
Why couldn't Shmuel say that in the inferior chalitza, since there's a superior one, he has to give both, but in this case, there is really no superior one. Why do you have to put a whole Zika thing?
I'll think more about your suggestion. As far as the Gemara is concerned, this qualifies as a chalitza psula. Again, chalitza psula in an event where you can't do yibum, but you still have a Zika.
But in this second case that we're using the term chalitza psula, it's not as though there's a superior chalitza to go with.
They're both equally inferior.
Right.
Okay. Gemara did not feel that was enough to resolve it. Umidram gamlo savrein zika rabbanan savri yeshika. So the Gemara says, okay, well that means then that we know Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim are arguing, and you're putting Rabbi Gamliel on the side of Ein Zika. Makes sense now to suggest that the Chachamim who argue with Rabbi Gamliel are holding Yesh Zika. Now that's an assumption. We don't know that, but right now let's put that on the table. Vikatani, we're on the top of Nun Alpha Mud Beis. Vikatani Seifa Vechina Tomer B'Shen Yavam V'Yavam Achas. So the Gemara says, well, we also know in the Brisa, again, the Brisa was really clear about this, is that let's say there were two surviving brothers and one widow. The halacha would be the same, where in the case where both of the brothers issued a get to this widow, so now we know that according to Rabbi Gamliel, the second get issued has no effectiveness, but we also know that according to the Chachamim, the second get issued is going to be effective. Now, lema ta'aviti yufta derava barav huna, amarav. Now, the Gemara says, now this will be challenging to the sheet of Rav. Remember, he said that what you have to do is that chalitza is going to be required from all the brothers. Now, again, in the Braisa that we did just minutes earlier, the Chachamim said with clarity, how many chalitzas need to be issued? One. Only one chalitza. In a get-get case, only one chalitza has to be issued. Again, they're both going to be affected. Each get has a value, and it will have an effect. But in terms of the number of chalitzas that need to be issued, only one chalitza. Wait 1 second. Once again, this qualifies as a chalitza psula. Chalitza psula is a chalitza issued when Yibam was not an option. And according to Rav, chalitza has to be issued from every brother. So, amlecha rabba baravuna, bein l'rabbin gamla, bein l'rabban samri in zika. So he will tell you, in my defense, I'll tell you that both Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim maintain the position of Ein Zika. And I maintain the position of Yesh Zika. That's a wonderful resolution. However, where are we right now? A little bit confused. We are right now at the point where Rabbi Gamliel holds Ein Zika and the Chachamim hold Ein Zika, and yet they're arguing. What are they arguing about? Gemara goes on to explain. So, v'hacha begeracha geramaymercha maymer kamiflagi. Gemara says, yeah, but just go back to the Amud Aleph of today's daf. Meaning what they're arguing about is the nature of what Mimer accomplishes, and can you compound a Mimer on top of a Mimer? What does get accomplish? Can you compound a get on top of a get? In other words, it goes back to what we discussed earlier. Meaning Zika is not the Nekud HaMachlokas. It's not the point of dispute between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim. It's just a question of how to look at the power the effectiveness of a mimer, and what happens when you try to overlay another mimer, a second mimer on top of that. Amar. Also, mimer bezu, Remen Gamliel, Omer, no singel, Bishon, Becholi, Slav, Asa, Bekor, Vesel, Mutter, Bekor, Veshnia, Michli, Kasav, Remen Gamliel, Ein, Mimer, Acha, Mimer, Rishon, Anami, Tisyabim. So the Gemara says, now, I want to see if I can understand this better. Remen Gamliel holds Ein, Mimer, Acha, Mimer. Right? Good. So now, Ein, Mimer, Acha, Mimer. So let's just go over what happened. Two widows, you're the only surviving brother. You issued mimer to widow number one. You issued mimer to widow number two. So what did Rabbi Gamliel say? The second mimer was ineffective. Huh. If the second mimer is ineffective, I got a great idea. What are we looking at right now? We're looking at a Zika, where you issued a mimer to widow number one, and now we are, according to Rabbi Gamliel, totally disregarding the second mimer. Hey, I got this great idea. Why don't you just finish what you started? Go back to widow number one. You did mimer with her. Good. Now you do yibum. Mazel tov. So the Gemara says, right? So it's a simple question. So the Gemara says, yeah, but once you put yibum on the table, so at this point in time, and remember, this person clearly is a confused person. So what it may end up doing is instead of doing yibum to the first one, which according to Rabbi Gamliel, would be perfectly legitimate, he may end up doing Yibam to the second one, which is perfectly illegitimate. You can't do Yibam to the second
because
one.
Because he makes up a second
one. Because the mimer to the first one was effective. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, good. We're going to finish today's daf. I'm so excited. Okay. Admittedly, that Gemara that we did this morning was challenging. There's no way around it. I told you the fifth parak is going to carry a punch to it. Okay, hopefully I was somewhat clear. Right? I really hope and daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu that I was able to present that with clarity, but admittedly, that was hard. The fifth perek is going to end really soon. And the sixth perek is really interesting. So please stay. Please come back. Come back for more. And the truth of the matter is the rest of today's daf is relatively easier. I'm Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan now makes the following observation. We do this a lot throughout the Gemara. And that is that we string together Tanayim. If I were to say which Amar does this the most, I would say Abaye. Right? And I'd bet heavily on me being right about this. Okay? I don't have the numbers to back it up this morning. I didn't do that kind of research. But Abai does this the most often. Rav Yochanan is doing the same thing as well. Stringing together Tanayim, who are basically on the same page. Tosus over here points out, not exactly the same page. In other words, they're not looking at Mimer all the exact same way, but they're basically all of the position that Mimer something. So, I'm Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Gamal, Rabbi Shama, Rabbi Shema Manazir, Rabbi Nechemia, Kulu, Svirlu, Mimer, Kona, Kinyan, Gamor. That Mimer is a real Kinyan. Now, the Gemara's language is Kinyan Gamor. Rashi says, let's temper that a little bit. Not Kinyan Gamor, Kinyan Chashev, says Rashi. It's significant. Now, Rabbi Gamal, Hadamara. Now, as far as Rabbi Gamal is concerned, so see above. Go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that according to Rami Gamliel, so Ein Maimer Echa Maimer. Why? And again, in our accepted understanding of Rami Gamliel, it's because that first Maimer, that carried something with it. It had something to it. And whatever it did to the first one, you can't repeat it to the second one. Good. Beit Shammah did not. Now, as far as Beit Shammah is concerned, so that goes back to a Mishnah that we did earlier. A really easy Mishnah. Shosha Achim Shnayim Mehem Nesum Shteachayis V'Achan Mufneh. You remember three brothers, two of them married to two sisters. The third one is single. And then what happened is that one of the brothers who was married to one of the sisters died. And the Mufne was, so what did he do? He did Mimer to her. Now, Minat Torah, is that anything? No. But he did Mimer to her. And then the other brother who was married to the other sister died. And now, what is he looking at over here? Yibum to two sisters. He can't do Yibum to two sisters. So Beit Shammai Omer Mishto Imo Valazut Teitzei Mishum Achuzisha. So Beit Shammai says, no problem. You already did Mimer to the first sister. What is that? According to Beit Shammai, that's called your wife. And so what's the other one? That's called your wife's sister. Oh, so your wife's sister, you can go. Meaning, I'm already married to your sister. But you're married to her? You only did Mimer to her. Exactly. Because according to Beit Shammai, Mimer is significant. Of the four opinions that we're about to see, that two of them we already saw, Beit Shammai, probably you're going to put on the top of the mountain in terms of what Mimer accomplishes. Right? Everything. Right? In other words, Mimer is so strong that basically it's able to take a sister and say, I'm already married to your sister. You're good. Okay. I'm not sure about that. I'll think more about that. But certainly Beit Shammai is, you know, as far as the power of Mimer, Beit Shammai clearly. Rabbi Shimon Detanya Amar Luhu Rabbi Shimon Lachachamim Im Bias Rishon Bia Bia Sheni Enabia Im Bias Rishon Enabia Bia Sheni Nami Enabia. This Shita Rabbi Shimon we have not yet seen. This is coming up later in the Masechta. Rashi tells us. I'm reading the Rashi. Lakama Veperkeisha Rabba Ben Teisha Shanim Viyamechad Abal Yivimta VeChazar Ba Echev Ben Teisha Shanim Viyamechad Aleha. Okay, this is a really uncomfortable case. This is now 2 9-year-olds, right? They're twins and. They're doing the mitzvah of Yibam. Are they in a position to do the mitzvah of Yibam? Of course not. In other words, the ketanim. Is there bia count? So the bia counts. And we're going to be discussing this at length in the sixth parak. The bia is a bia. So now, in halacha, how do we regard this regarding Yibam? Right? So this is complicated. It's a little bit confusing. Meaning, on one hand, they don't have the das to do the mitzvah. On the other hand, their bia is a bia. So it is basically a mimer equivalent. Okay, this is now going to be our second time today. We're talking about mimer equivalency. So this is a mimer equivalent. So, and Rashi goes on to say, Absula al yadod debias ben teisha shanim ke mimer shavye rabbanan. Okay, good. This is exactly what we just said. And therefore, v'havale mimer achar mimer. This is similar to mimer achar mimer. Okay. Now, mikedushas af l'sheni upasla af al rishon ke rabbanan dami yesh mimer achar mimer Rabbi Shimon omer lo pasla. So now, In the Bia Benteisha, which is a Mimer equivalent, so now, really depends on how you feel about Mimer. If Mimer is Kone, so that means to say now that the Bia of the first one is Kone, the Bia of the second one is inconsequential. That's exactly what Rabbi Shimon says. I want to read that again. So, Rabbi Shimon de Tanya Amar Lohu Rabbi Shimon Lachachamim in Bias Rishon Bia Sheni Eino Bia in Bias Rishon Eino Bia Bia Sheni Nami Eino Bia. But in other words, but that first Bia of the Ben Teisha might in fact be a significant Bia. As a result of that, consequently, it will simply have the second one will have no effect because Maimer, according to Rabbi Shimon, is significant. And finally, Benazeh de Tanya Benazeh Amar Yesh Maimer Acha Maimer Bishnei Yevam Viyavam Achas Vei Maimer Acha Maimer. Penultimate. So Ben Azai says that there is Maimer Acha Maimer with two Yevamin V'Yevma Achas. However, Ein Maimer Acha Maimer when there are two widows. When there are two widows, there is no Maimer Acha Maimer because again, he holds that when one surviving brother does Maimer, that's something. It's significant to the extent where he, and under those circumstances, he would hold Ein Maimer Acha Maimer. He holds like Rabbi Gamliel, basically, but not.
Beit Shammai also, no.
Beit Shammai holds more than those two. Okay, and finally, Rabbi Nechemi did not. Rabbi Nechemi Omer Achas Bila Vachas Chalitza Bein Betchil Bein Bemsa Bein Mesof Ein Acharei Haklum. So when it comes to Beila, Achas Bila Vachas Chalitza, whether it's done in the first, second or third place. So in acharei klum, there's nothing afterwards. V'habia psula de maimer shavir rabbanan. Once again, we're talking now where it was get bia maimer, right? And three action points, the three different widows. So remember, we said this earlier today. We're saying it again. That bia now is a bia that's post get or post maimer. That is a bia psula. It's an inferior bia. It has an equivalency to maimer. And v'ketani ein acharei klum. And nothing comes after that, meaning there's nothing significant after that. Anything you do after that will have no effect. That means now that Maimer, according to Rabbi Nechemia, is really significant. It closes the case, so to say.
How could a bia post-Maimer not be significant? That's actually the validity of the Maimer.
To be clear, so we're talking about where there are three different widows. You did Maimer to one, you did bia to another, and I wasn't clear enough. You did Maimer to one, you did Bia to another, you did get to a third. Under those circumstances now, that middle Bia is a Bia Psula. The Bia Psula is a Maimer equivalent. A Maimer equivalent is what? So Rabbi Nechemia says, closes the case. Closes the case, why? Because he holds to the strength of Maimer. So Rabbi Yochanan put together a number of Tanaim, or of the position, that Maimer is really strong. It accomplishes something. And again, not everyone to the same degree. And again, I'm comfortable putting Beis Shammai on the top of what Maimer is able to accomplish. Yeah, Danny.
Did you not learn earlier that you don't need Das to do a Yibum? So why would this Katan be on the same level as a Maimer? That should be Yibum.
It should be the mitzvah of Yibum. We'll discuss more about that in the upcoming parak. We're going to talk more about Bias Katan and what it accomplishes. And you're right. In other words, there does need to be Kavana, but you have to be a Bar Hachi. Meaning you have to be somebody who is in the parsha being able to do mitzvos. Okay. Well, we'll talk more about it in the upcoming parak. Adkan, we'll stop over here.
Sure.